of the House is coming into order. And I note for the record that there is a quorum present consisting of members Representative Gene Cupina and Representative Sherry Davis and myself. Absent are Representative Richard Foster and Representative Chris Pettyjohn. On the agenda before us is House Bill 480, House Bill 243, and House Bill 549. And the first bill before us is House Bill 480. We have before us again today House Bill 480, an act authorizing loans for solid waste management projects from the Clean Water Fund by Representative Mark Boyer. When we first heard this bill in committee, several concerns were raised about its feasibility for rural communities, which have some of the worst solid waste disposal problems within the state. Representative Boyer, and we have to thank him for it, has reworked several aspects of his bill, and we have before us a proposed committee substitute which clarifies and simplifies the process. This version is more workable and feasible for all communities. And so before we go into the discussion process, we have the committee substitute for House Bill 480 for approval for your consideration.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to move House Bill 480, committee substitute for House Bill 480 with individual recommendations.
Okay, for discussion.
Oh, for discussion.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. Any objections? Motion carried. Mr. Frank Ego of Representative Boyer staff is here to explain the changes and answer any questions that we may have. Frank, will you please join us?
Madam Chairman, my name is Franklin Eagle, for the record. Basically what we've done with this committee substitute is, well, number one, we decided not to rename the Alaska Clean Water Fund, the Alaska Clean Water Fund Solid Waste Management Fund. We just eliminated all those sections dealt specifically with the title change, and to take care of the committee's problems about the criteria for loans from the Solid Waste Management Fund, we set up criteria in Section 2J that specifically relates to the priorities given to solid waste management facilities. We've given priority to a project that will alleviate severe health and environmental concerns as the number one priority, and then set up, as was proposed in the original bill, the criteria for the solid waste management functions themselves: solid waste source reduction, recycling, waste treatment, and disposal. Just totally simplifies and sets up the criteria. And if you have any questions.
Are there any questions?
Really straightforward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we have, before your consideration, to move it out of committee substitute for House Bill 480. What is the wish of the committee?
Madam Chairman, I move committee substitute for House Bill 480 with individual recommendations.
There's a motion on the floor to move committee substitute for House Bill 480 out of committee with individual recommendations. Any objections? Hearing none, motion carried. The second item on the agenda before us is House Bill 243 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the reimbursement for and exemption from. Municipal property taxation for certain primary residences and providing for an effective date. At the last committee meeting, we adopted a committee substitute changing the program to a direct rebate program from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. During the last few days, we have been working with the department, the Alaska Municipal League, and the Legal Services Division to address questions about how to include a section on deferred payments for hardship cases, and in cases where the state may not fully fund the program for seniors who are due a reimbursement and want to pay only the net amount of taxes due. Two new sections, E and F, have been added in the new committee substitute, which incorporates languages for both occurrences. One other minor change was made in the new draft to clarify the municipal assessor from the state assessor. Unless there are any major problems with this legislation, I would like to move it out of committee today. I have been informed by the Finance Committee that they will support this version or any version of House Bill 243 passed by the community and regional commission. However, they will probably choose to do additional work on the bill when it reaches the Finance Committee. And we have before your consideration the new committee substitute. We need to adopt the new committee substitute for 243 for discussion purposes. Mm-hmm. There's a motion on the floor. Any objections? Hearing none, motion carried. And at this time, we will open the meeting to take testimony.
Do we have any minutes?
Yes. Is there anyone that wishes to testify on committee substitute for House Bill 243? Let's see. Connie Sight.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Connie Sight. I'm the Executive Director of the Older Alaskans Commission. I'd like to state, first of all, that I did have been discussing this bill each week with the Legislative Subcommittee of the Older Alaskans Commission on our Tuesday morning meetings. Okay. And in looking at the discussion committee substitute, the one that's up today, I see that the two paragraph amendments seem to make the bill better, and I think that those are worthy of your consideration, favorable consideration, because they do make it clear that if someone is eligible for reimbursement, that homeowner's taxes are not due until 30 days after the date when the reimbursement payments come out of the State Department of Community and Regional Affairs. Also, it does allow municipalities to, by ordinance, provide an exemption from taxes when there's a hardship in case the state does not fully fund the program. However, I do need to go on the record and officially state that the Older Alaskans Commission will be opposed to this bill, and I do think you'll find a great number of seniors will also, unless a fiscal note is placed with this bill to provide for the full funding. At this point in time, as this bill moves forward, there is a funding of about 24% of the estimated need. And I would urge the committee to pass on to the Finance Committee not only the bill, but a proposed fiscal note for their consideration to fully fund this program. Because otherwise, the Older Alaskans Commission will object. We do not object to the idea of getting municipalities out of the middle. I think the Community Regional Affairs and the Alaska Municipal League have done an excellent job of working and negotiating on the format of the bill and the format of how to make this change. But for the seniors and disabled veterans to go from their exemption to a 25% exemption in 1 year would be quite disastrous to many of them. And I do think that you will find strong opposition to the bill from all over the state. And that is the sentiment I've been hearing on the weekly teleconferences that we have. I would also urge you that if you consider drafting a fiscal note, to consider also the other portion of this program, the companion piece of legislation, which is the Senior and Disabled Veterans Renters Rebate Program, which is also severely underfunded. That program, this year, for the first time, will send out a pro rata distribution of about 55% of the renter's rebate. When applicants filed their application for renter's rebate, they were informed on the application that there might be some shortfall in a pro rata distribution. However, I think no one anticipated that it would be so great. The Department of Community and Regional Affairs is allowed to move monies between the Senior Property Tax Exemption Fund and the Renter's Rebate because they are part of the same BRU. And in anticipation of increases this year, they did in fact move $200,000 to the Renter's Rebate Program. However, when the applications came in, as I understand from Mike Worley, the assessor, there were three combinations of factors that went up. The number of applicants went up by 26%. Rents have gone up around the state, and state local millage rates have gone up. Those three factors multiply times each other to increase the cost of the program from approximately $500,000 last year to just over $800,000 this year. And this actually is from Community Regional Affairs. I was talking with them in the last week. These are the charts on what the renter's rebate program looks like. It is the companion piece so that renters who do not own homes get the same advantage as the homeowners do in terms of the exemption, presumption being that they're paying their landlord the property taxes on their rental unit. So I don't want to go on in great detail. I'd be glad to answer any questions from the committee, but I do urge you to consider putting a fiscal note with this bill if it's going to go forward.
We need to...
You say that it looks like the program that we're talking about here is intended to be funded about 55% this year, as opposed to 24.
I'm sorry, that's renter's rebate. But if you take the remaining money after the renter's rebate is paid, what's going to go to the cities, the municipalities this year on property tax exemption is, I understand, for the 1990 taxes, about 28%.
Do you know what's...
And for 1991, the estimates from the assessor's office are that the current funding level would fund about 24% of the property tax exemption. So that if that's all the funding there is for this bill's reimbursement plan, in the summer of 1991, seniors would receive property tax bills for their full tax and notice that they're eligible for a rebate of about 24 cents on the dollar of those taxes. And we expect also an increasing problem with the renter's rebate, a similar problem. Part of what you're looking at is a growing population. You're also seeing increasing local taxes. So.
Questions?
No.
You
gotta go. I
gotta go now, too. It's getting real interesting around here.
Is anybody else on that? Mike Worley. Richard.
Are we on teleconference?
I don't think so. Not on this one.
Is it free?
No.
Representative Foster. Representative Foster, will you join us?
Yeah. Good. Thanks, sir. Mr. Chairman. I know you're the chair.
And member of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just a word on the fiscal note, which we submitted just earlier today to the committee. I'm afraid that I overlooked Connie Side and I failed to give her a copy of the fiscal note. The fiscal note does reflect the full funding level of the homeowners program. It doesn't do so directly on the face of the fiscal note because it has a limit on the program. We didn't want to mislead anyone, so we wanted to explain fully what the situation is with this program. On grants and claims, on the fiscal note, it says see attached. The attachment on the next page at the bottom under grants and claims says this program has been partially funded at a level of approximately $2.5 million for the past few years. Under the CS for HB 243, the legislature would have the same latitude to partially fund or fully fund the program as exists under current law. If the program were fully funded, however, the total cost would be approximately $9 million or $6.5 million higher than the current funding level. I don't know if that would be adequate for OAC's needs, but certainly it is reflected on the fiscal note. Just one more quick word. Under personal services and equipment and so forth, there is a relatively small amount of $32,800 the first year. For personal services, $8,500 for equipment, and then from that point on, $32,800. These figures represent three persons in the fiscal division or admin division of our department to process the warrants that would be mailed to the senior citizens. These people would only be on staff for 3 months out of each year. So this is an extremely bare bones estimate. We pared it down as finely as we could in working with the league and with the Older Alaskans Commission. With that, Mr. Chairman, that ends my comments. If there are any questions from the committee, I'd be happy to respond.
Marley, you can get somebody, three people for 3 months. That's an easy thing for you to do. Capable to do something like that?
Mr. Chairman, the logic here is that we would need the people to be productive for 2 months. The first month would be training to do a specific task. It would not be a complex thing, about a three-step operation, as I understand.
Any other questions?
Any other comment? Anybody else here to testify on this bill?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good, you got it. Go ahead. Crystal.
All right. Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Crystal Smith. I'm with the Alaska Municipal League. And Scott was going to be here, but he got called away upstairs with the chair. As the previous people have mentioned, we have been working with the Older Alaskans Commission and with the Department of Community and Regional Affairs to prepare amendments to the previous CS, and we definitely support this CS, which you see before you. I think that we were very accepting of the department's fiscal note. Obviously, we want full funding, but in order to implement this particular bill, the additional funding is not required. Municipalities have been supporting full funding for quite some time, of course. I think we've worked with the department and with OAC to make things a little simpler for the senior, and I think that although obviously the finance committee will work on this, so I think we're quite content with this bill. I'm glad to answer any questions.
Yes, she is.
Thank you. Motion?
Hi, Tom.
I'd like to move that committee substitute for House Bill number 243 be moved out of the committee with individual recommendations.
Hearing no objection?
No.
Well done. Is it going to be talk on this? Oh. Is she ready?
Okay, we have Mr. Dusty calling in, Mr. Greenwald, Mr.
funding. What we did was send it to the finance committee to deal with funding. Myself, I wouldn't pass it out at all. I put down no recommendation. I think it puts senior citizens in a terrible spot, and I wouldn't pass it. And I'll vote no on it when it comes before. I don't think it's the way to go. I know the municipalities don't agree with me.
It just didn't look that way to me.
Yeah, Rena's got some points.
And the three people who are off net in their offices in the municipality of Anchorage who want to testify on this bill. And they haven't called in, but they were told to call in at 2 o'clock, so it'll probably take a couple minutes to get the connections made. Dr. Sokoloff from the PUC is here to testify. I'm representing the municipality of Anchorage Utilities, and I could spend a minute or two to see some background on the legislation if you desire that.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to read this. I haven't read it, and then. Oh, dear.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, but here's the program.
I'd rather we look at them.
A little workshop.
That's a good thing with little communities like Rome, because the people there are sitting right now, they're in the
Yeah.
Like I used to go out with my mom all the time.
Hello. Yes. Yes, my name is Rick Bass. I'm the general manager of the Waterway Park Utility District.
Good.
Hello.
Yeah, Rick, I'm on the line too. I guess we're waiting.
Yeah, in 5 hours.
This is a teleconference, not a waiter. And you're in conference mode.
For the chairman, I'm Representative Medina. Read her introductory comments. The next item before us is House Bill 549 by Representative Jim Zawacki, an act relating to the exemption from regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission of public utilities owned and operated by political subdivisions. This is the first time we've heard this bill in committee. For your information, we will not be moving this bill out of committee today and will be taking testimony only. This bill would exempt utilities owned and operated by municipalities from regulation by the APUC unless the governing body elects to be subject to regulation. Currently, statutes allow municipal public utilities to be exempt from regulation by the APUC unless they choose to be regulated or unless direct competition is found to exist between a municipally owned public utility and another utility subject to regulation. If direct competition is found to exist, then all of the municipally owned public facilities are subject to regulation. The municipality of Anchorage owns and operates several utilities: Anchorage Telephone Utility, Municipal Light and Power, Anchorage Water and Wastewater Utility, Refuge Utility, Solid Waste Disposal Utility. Because of a dispute between Municipal Light and Power and Chugach Electric, all of the municipality of Anchorage utilities fall under APUC regulation. The municipality believes utilities that are not in direct competition should not be regulated by APUC. We have representatives from the municipality of Anchorage and the APUC with us today. The Anchorage LIO is online through the teleconference network. I think what I'll do first is, Marco, if you'll give us a brief overview of the bill, and I have a gentleman that was here last time. Is Peter? Is that
Sokolov?
Pardon me?
Sokolov
from APUC. We'll make sure we get to you next. All right. Go ahead. Could you state your name and for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Marco Pinalberry, and I've been hired by the Municipality of Anchorage Utilities to assist them in this piece of legislation. And the summary that I could provide you was actually done in a very good style and fashion by your staff, and I have nothing really to add to that except to say that the dispute that originally caused the Anchorage Utilities to come under the PUC regulation, which was mentioned in the report there, that dispute was solved several years ago and blessed, for the lack of a better term, by the PUC. So the original reason that caused the regulation no longer exists, and that's just one of the reasons why we believe the municipality should go back to the exempt status. Online in Anchorage, we have four of the municipal managers, so Mr. Tom Starr from MLMP and Rick Best from the wastewater, and Mr. Grunewald from
solid waste, and I know they want to address the bill. And we are all very anxious to have Dr. Sokoloff, chairman of the Public Utilities Commission, respond to his views on record also. So I think we should get on with that and some more.
Any questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Sokoloff. Join us, please. And we'll be going to Anchorage next.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Foster, the Commission opposes the enactment of this bill because it believes that the proposed changes to the statute are contrary to sound public policy. The current statutory language requires that utilities that are operated by political subdivision be regulated as to rates and quality of service if they directly compete with another utility. Commission oversight reasonably assures that such competition is fair and prevents a possible flow of subsidies from the political subdivision to its utility to thwart a competitor. In other words, the Commission provides for a level playing field for both the municipality and the competitor. The Commission, however, would not oppose eliminating the catch-all provision in the current statutory language. Under the current statute, all utilities owned and operated by a political subdivision become regulated if any one of them directly competes with another utility. It seems that it is this catch-all aspect of the existing statute that is the most objectionable to the proponents of this legislation. The intent of the catch-all provision is to allow the Commission to directly monitor all utilities to assure that cross-subsidization does not occur. The Commission is satisfied, however, that it can investigate cross-subsidization issues with sufficient accuracy without the need to directly regulate it municipal sister utilities. So the proposed statutory change, we would not oppose deleting the last two lines of 4205.711b2 that the phrase and any other utility or electric operated entity owned and operated by the political subdivision is also subject to this chapter. Yeah, 24 through 26.
Are there questions?
Representative Foster?
No, I don't have any.
You might just stay with us here for a minute, okay, sir. And Representative Zawacki is here, the prime sponsor. Would you like to speak on the bill?
We are on teleconference, correct? I apologize for running a little bit late. They just called my office here, and I did know that the APUC had some objections to it. I think there are other people that want to testify on the bill, and they probably can comment or give response on the comments that the gentleman just made. So at this time, I would refer that to, I think Bill Huffman is online along with Tom Starr.
He opted out.
Okay. Is there someone in Anchorage at this time?
Yes. This is Tom Starr.
Yeah, Tom, if you would go ahead, I appreciate that, if that's okay with the chairman here.
Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee, my name is Tom Starr, and I'm General Manager of Anchorage Municipal Light and Power. I am here to testify in favor of House Bill 549. In the lower 48, most municipal utilities, REA co-ops, and PUDs are not under the economic regulation of the State Utility Commission. In fact, in the state of Nebraska, which has 119 municipal systems, 4 REAs, and 32 power districts, they have no state regulation of electric rates whatsoever. Municipals and so on, however, are regulated directly by elected assemblies. under Alaska Municipal Utility are under regulation because of the historical competition between Chugach and MLMT, which led to wasteful duplication of facilities. In an attempt to solve this problem, the APUC was made a full-time commission, and the Anchorage Utilities came under regulation in about 1971, maybe a little earlier. One of the first full-time APUC dockets was this service area issue. This service area dispute was finally resolved by mutual agreement of the parties in 83 or 84. Now that the service area issue between MLMT and CEA has been resolved, the Anchorage utility operation is no different than Fairbanks or Ketchikan. What remains is only a public policy home rule issue. Should Anchorage be allowed to manage its affairs through locally elected representatives, or is it necessary to have state bureaucracy oversee their affairs? If the latter is necessary for utilities, might not it be required for administrative oversight be needed for all other areas of municipal operation? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Tom. Are there any questions from the committee there? Representative Foster.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Peter maybe to make note of some of these things. I'd like him to maybe reply to some of the points that are brought up here as we go along.
One, I am not familiar exactly what other states do, but this representation that the rates are lower in because of regulation in other states, I don't think that regulation is the only variable, because municipal utilities and co-ops have access to much lower interest rate, to money at much lower interest rates than private utilities, and I think that's the main factor why the rates are lower of the municipal utilities. As far as difference between Anchorage and the Fairbanks and Ketchikan is this question of direct competition. We looked at the issue, and the municipality stipulated to a series of facts. We had intervention by Chugach Electric, as far as economy energy is concerned, that they are directly competing with MLMT in economy energy sales to Fairbanks, and from Alaska, and from Macaw Cellular, because they are in direct competition with the municipal utility, with ATU, on cellular radio. And during this discussion, the municipality actually made filings about whether it is beneficial competition, whether it's de minimis competition, but we are creation of a legislature, and we're looking at the statute, and direct competition to us is direct competition. And what may be de minimis to the municipality may be not at all de minimis to a fledgling utility that tries to compete with them. And although this is not direct competition between utilities, we can see some cross-subsidization at ATU, where the municipality lost considerable amounts. I don't recall the exact number. The number that comes to me is 7 to 9 million in trying to compete with the private sector on the deregulated side of the telephone business, on telephone sets and PBXs. So actually, this cross-subsidization has occurred at ATU to a degree, at least. We have regulated ATU, and the allocation that the municipality chose to actually absorb those losses in the CPE field.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have Alan Mitchell? Alan Mitchell in Anchorage?
Hello, my name is Alan Mitchell, and my firm is Analysis North. We currently hold the state contract to represent consumers on utility issues. And I'm here today to testify in opposition to House Bill 549. If If House Bill 549 passes, the result is that the Anchorage municipal utilities will regulate themselves and not be regulated by the Public Utilities Commission. And I'm going to speak specifically today about that result. I believe that consumers have basically three things to worry about if that happens. First of all, the rates that the municipal utilities will charge, I believe, will probably be set too high in a form of taxation of ratepayers to help pay for municipal services. An example of this occurred last year during the brief two-month stint when the municipality was actually regulating themselves. The assembly tried to extract about $1.7 million out of the municipal utilities over and above what the APUC would have allowed in an attempt to balance the budget. And I think this tendency will occur in the future. This tendency of using utility rates as a form of taxation is especially a problem in Anchorage because here the ratepayers and the taxpayers are not the same group. An assembly person from Eagle River would love to extract dividends from ATU because the higher rates that are caused by this extraction of dividends are not paid by his or her constituent because Eagle River right now is served by Matanuska Telephone Association. So that's a particular problem here in Anchorage. The APUC has regulations to prevent this kind of hidden taxation. They have very clear procedures for establishing rates and very clear procedures for establishing fair rates of profit. The second concern that I think consumers should have is that there won't be enough expert regulation provided by the part-time regulatory process that the municipality has proposed. And I think the key here is to remember that utilities are monopolies in most of the services they provide. It's easy to justifiably scream that there's excessive regulation of private competitive firms when these firms operate in competitive markets. However, the utilities don't have competitors. And regulation really is the primary mechanism for putting pressure on the utilities to contain costs and to make sure that rates are equitable. So the question is, why couldn't self-regulation provide this level of expert regulation? Well, I feel the utility issues are very complicated, and it takes substantial expertise to understand them. The Muni's proposed system involves a part-time commission that has no staff available to it, and I think they'll have a very difficult time coming to grips with these utility issues. Also, what concerns me about the proposed municipal system is that the resources of the commission, of the regulatory commission, will be far exceeded by the resources of the utilities that they are trying to regulate. I think the regulatory outcome is very likely to be very close to what the utilities want, and so in that sense, the regulatory process is not very independent. Finally, the extra cost of providing the professional regulation that the PUC provides is really not that much. Independent estimates of that regulatory cost indicate that the extra cost is really about 30 cents for every $100 of utility revenue, or about $400,000 a year for the three main municipal utilities. So in essence, this self-regulation move is going to save consumers only about 30 cents for every $100 of utility costs. And I believe that the benefits of the APUC regulation far exceed this extra 30 cents of cost. These arguments are a little different when applied to some of the smaller utilities around the state that are self-regulated. For them, the resources of their utility commissions are much similar to the resources of the utility themselves. And also for them, the extra costs of APUC regulation are a much larger fraction of their total utility costs. So I think these arguments are a little different for Anchorage than they are for the other utilities around the state. The third item that's a concern to consumers is the cross-subsidy issue that's already been mentioned. And as Peter Sokoloff mentioned, there have been tendencies of this cross-subsidy to occur. The last ATU rate case, the APUC identified approximately $1 million per year of costs that ATU was proposing to collect through their normal phone rates, and these costs were actually associated with their competitive activities and should be collected through the price they charge for their competitive activities. I'd like to conclude by saying that I haven't talked to many people that showed from that study. Our final recommendation is continued regulation by the APUC with certain reforms in the relationship between the APUC and the utilities, and the establishment of a separate authority to ensure greater autonomy for the utilities. The basis for our recommendation for remaining under APUC jurisdiction includes the following. On the whole, the APUC provides expert regulation that is generally free from the adverse political influence that is common to municipal utilities regulated at the local level. Two, the direct financial impacts of costs associated with APUC regulation are extremely small. And three, the APUC will provide stable regulation if the utilities alter their current organizational structures. That concludes my comments.
Thank you, Alan. Let me go ahead and try to get everybody on teleconference that wants to speak so that we don't run out of time, and then we'll come back to here. Is Stuart Hall there?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Stuart Hall. I'm a local attorney in Anchorage, and I'm a former member of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission from 1976 to 1983. I'm here to speak in opposition, a very strong opposition to House Bill 549. As I will say in my concluding remarks, I think the bill goes in 180 degrees in the wrong direction. I think Representative Zawacki, the prime sponsor of this bill, can appreciate this particular analysis. I'm going to use an analytic test that is used by an organization of which we are both members, Rotary International. It's called the four-way test. I'm going to apply it to this particular bill. The four-way test is it the truth? This bill is not the truth. In fact, it's based upon on the notion of municipal self-regulation, on the thought that somehow the municipality is going to save a lot of money for consultants and attorneys that they have to fork over to appear before, participate in proceedings before the PUC. One of the members of the Water Utilities Regulatory, or I should say Board of Directors or Advisory Body, which I'll mention in a moment, is also its regulatory body, just mentioned to me the other day that they were planning on hiring a consultant so they could understand what the water utility was proposing in the way of rate increases. There is no regulation, no policy, no statute that requires anyone appearing before the APUC to hire outside counsel or to hire so-called high-priced consultants. That is the choice of the utility management. The fact is that the Anchorage Municipal Utility System is remarkably well managed and has excellent staffs who are quite capable of putting on a rate case or other proceeding before the APUC at no extra cost to the utility. If they choose to hire expensive consultants for that purpose, that is their privilege. But to blame it on the system is entirely erroneous. In fact, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, this bill is nothing more than an attempt to end-run proceedings that are presently before the Superior Court. There is an order of the APUC declaring that the utilities of Anchorage are still regulated by them, and this matter is being adjudicated in the Superior Court, and likely whatever the decision will be appealed to the Supreme Court of the state. I think it is entirely inappropriate for a piece of legislation to be considered or to be passed through the system at this time while the matter is before the court. Let's see what the courts have to say, and then if it requires remedial legislative action, let's get on with it. Let me say, the second test, is it fair to all concerned? I think municipal self-regulation is patently unfair. As one, I suspect I'm one of the few people testifying before this proceeding today who was actually in on one of the initial hearings that occurred before one of the so-called regulatory bodies that the municipality in its infinite wisdom set up in August of 1989 to self-regulate. What the committee needs to understand, Mr. Chairman and members, is that these so-called regulatory bodies are in fact the boards of directors of the utilities wearing another hat. What utility manager wouldn't love that? Would you allow Alascom's or NSTAR's board of directors to also serve as the regulatory body overseeing and setting its rates? Of course you wouldn't. Why would you allow it at the municipal level? Now, I was accused by the mayor and his administration of trying to set up a mini-APUC in the municipality of Anchorage. Well, the fact of the matter is, I was. Because if you're going to self-regulate, you need an independent regulatory body to review the rate and other requests of the utilities to give them some independent evaluation, the kind of evaluation the Alaska PUC provides at the present time. Under the structure set up by the municipality, at the urging of the mayor and with the acquiescence of the assembly, that does not occur. I can tell you that what happened at the water utility hearing was really a very interesting procedure. The chairman of the commission opened the meeting, the manager of the utility proceeding. But that's all there was. There was no one there, no staff to ask the tough, hard questions as to whether the expenses were just and reasonable, whether the revenue projections made sense, and so forth. That is something the Alaska PUC the question is, will this build goodwill and better friendships? Mr. Dulacki, I'm sure, is familiar with that test. In fact, it won't. But as the BOC points out, there is a new form of competition going on between the utilities, perhaps not entirely contemplated by those who framed the Alaska PUC Act back in the 1969-1970 era. And that is, as I say, the sale of economy energy, principally to the utilities in Fairbanks. An excellent development that very much benefits the rate payers in the Fairbanks area and helps reduce particularly their electric rates. But it is competition nonetheless, and if you look carefully at the APUC statute, you will find the so-called liberal construction clause, and I think the APUC's interpretation of the statute on that basis, and I have changed my mind since my original comment on the subject last summer. I think it's correct. It's a correct interpretation of the statute, and I think their order is a proper one. Finally, will this legislation be beneficial to all concerned? I say to you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it will not. And I will conclude by observing that what I think the statute ought to do is to provide for regulation of all the municipal utilities in Alaska, not just those in Anchorage. Take the situation that occurs in Fairbanks and Ketchikan, for example. In Fairbanks, about 45% of all the telephone subscribers live outside the city limits of the city of Fairbanks. They have no voice in the election of the Fairbanks City Council. Now, under the municipal code, the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly could regulate the rates if they were so empowered by the people. They never have been. The result is that the Fairbanks City Council can raise the telephone rates for the FMUS telephone system with impunity, and often have by reputation and record, to use those rates, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, to subsidize electric service, free refuse, and steam heat in downtown Fairbanks. That's been going on for years. I think that where the borough assembly does not regulate those rates outside the city limits, the APUC should. In Ketchikan, a somewhat similar situation obtains, where about a third of the telephone subscribers live outside the Ketchikan city limits. The Ketchikan City Council regulates those rates and can use the revenues for anything it wishes, and I suppose it probably does. Representative Davis is from that city, is probably better informed about it than I am, but that kind of thing should not allow to continue, where such a significant proportion of the ratepayers live outside the city limits, and the borough assembly does not act on those rates. I think the APUC should regulate it. Mr. Chairman, this is an unwise piece of legislation. It is untimely. It is most assuredly not in the public interest, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that you and your members may have.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Was there any questions of the committee for Mr. Hall?
I was just going to ask you if Jim would be kicked out early.
Representative Wacky.
Just some comments in regards to Mr. Hall, which I know very well, and his Rotary explanation out there. One of the things that Rotary, like many of Alaskans, we all have an opportunity to respect each other's view and also respect the right to disagree. Just a couple comments that I would like to make, and I guess maybe there's a difference of philosophies with some people as to who should have the ultimate responsibility of oversight within government, whether it should be dictated from the state level down or whether it should be dictated through the local government, through assemblies, administration. I'm a firm believer in philosophy that the responsibility should be more on the local level, and that's one of the reasons why we're sitting here today discussing it. In regards to my friend Mr. Hall, in regards to talking about the Rotary Code, when he talked about fair to all, we need to emphasize one more time that Anchorage is the only local government or borough in this state that is regulated along these lines by APUC. Nobody, and I repeat, nobody else out there is regulated as Anchorage is. Beneficial to all, I guess I take a very strong exception to Mr. Hall's comment that all utilities throughout this entire state should come under APUC. Contrary to some beliefs, APUC does a very good job, but there are also several serious problems with the APUC oversight, especially in the rural and the bush utilities out there, which have added extreme costs to the operation of these utilities and the oversight with the state as they come before the board. Goodwill and friendship, I will say in your Anchorage case, it's probably one of the few times that you have the municipal assembly through the mayor and his administration, the assembly members and utilities all working together along these lines. Yes, there's probably some disagreements out there, but in regards to this exemption out there, you've got the administration, the assembly, and the utilities all working in harmony and conjunction, and I believe there are more than enough qualified people with any municipality that can have oversight and regulate it through the municipality of Anchorage.
Thank you, Representative Zwacky.
Mr. Chairman.
Is there anyone else on the conference that would, teleconference network that would like to speak?
Yes, my name is Rick Best. I'm the general manager of the Water and Wastewater Utility in the municipality for the municipality of Anchorage.
That was Rick, Rick what?
Yes, B-E-S-S-E.
Go ahead, Mr. Best.
I'd just like to describe, briefly, the, procedures set up by the municipality, through the self-regulation ordinances, AO89-51-S3, and the rules of procedure, which is, AR89-242-S. Essentially an
Thank you, Mr. Bass. We should also have a Mr. Grunewald online.
Yes. My name is Joel Grunewald. I'm the Director of Solid Waste Services for the Municipality of Anchorage. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would like to preface my remarks by quoting from an APUC order dated 1983. It's docket U81-90. Enactment of Chapter 136, 1980, repeal the language of AAS 4205-22-1F and portions of 8205.711B, which exempted garbage and refuse collection and disposal of public utilities operating within municipal boundaries from having to obtain a certificate of public convenience and necessity to furnish service within these boundaries. Repeal of that language meant that all municipal garbage and refuse utilities must possess a certificate of public convenience and necessity for the service that they serve. The fall of 1981, the municipality filed an application for a certificate to provide garbage and refuse public utility service within the corporate limits of the Municipality of Anchorage. And the municipality requested that it be exempt from economic regulation by the commission. The commission, in its order, found that the municipality was fit, willing, and able to serve. It went on to quote, "The rules and regulations and rates under which the utility operates are provided in Chapter 26.7 of the Anchorage Municipal Code. These rules and rates and regulations are set forth clearly in the ordinances. They adequately cover the terms and conditions of service applicable to refuse utilities and are comparable with refuse service tariffs for other garbage and refuse collection and disposal of public utilities which have been approved by the Commission. Based on the evidence, the Commission believes that the municipality is fit, willing, and able to provide this necessary service." It went on, and again to quote, "While most municipally owned utilities are exempt by law from economic regulation by the Commission, the Anchorage Municipal Utilities are subject to full economic regulation because its electric utility is in competition with Chugach Electric Association. The municipality requested an exemption from economic regulation for the following reasons. Municipal Assembly and previously the Anchorage City Council has economically regulated the refuse collection disposal activities under the authority of the local government for the past 30 years. Two, the public interest in terms of economic regulation has been, continues to be protected by the locally elected governing body. Also because of change into a completely different accounting method and system because of APUC economic regulation would be costly and time-consuming, does not appear to be called for within the well-managed and proven system that is now being used. Under AS 4205.711D, the Commission may exempt a public utility from all or a portion of AS 4205 if no legitimate public interest will be served by regulation. In this case, the Municipality of Anchorage has regulated refuse collection disposal operations successfully for 30 years. The Commission has received complaints concerning the service or operations of the utility during its investigation or during the past 10 years. Local governing body appears to adequately protect the public interest. For these reasons, those articulated by the municipality in its application, the Commission believes that the public interest would not be served by regulation of refuse operation other than under AS 4205-22-21-281 or certification. The Commission further finds and concludes the municipality, Solid Waste Services, is a public utility as defined in the statute, subject to the Commission's regulatory jurisdiction. For the reasons articulated by the body of this order, it is not exempt from economic regulation. However, because no legitimate public interest will be served by economic regulation, solid waste service should be exempt from all the provisions of AS 42 except 4205 except those governing certification. And subsequently, the commission issued a certificate of public convenience to the municipality department of solid waste services. How well has this fared since 1983? Well, to give you a comparison, comparing our commercial rates with a private hauler Anchorage area, Anchorage charges for once a week lift for a dumpster container is $45.50. Private, who is regulated by the APUC, charges $66.68 per month. More than a 46% difference. Residential rates in the Anchorage area by the private are $14.04, by the public operation are $14.30. Mere 1.85% difference. I believe that our costs, our rates charged to the residential customer are more truly in line with the actual cost of service than what is being charged by the private. I think the evidence over the last 7 or 8 years has shown that the municipality administration and the assembly are capable and ready, willing, and able to provide regulation, self-regulation over its own utility rates. That is, can be expressed by the evidence of what rates are for garbage services. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We only have just a few more minutes that we have left. Maybe I'll go to Mr. Sokoloff first, and if he'd like to respond, and then we'll come back over there.
Well, I'm glad that it worked out for Mr. Greenwald, because unlike popular belief, we do use 711D when we find that no legitimate public interest is served by regulating. And for along those lines, we exempted the whole radio common carrier industry practically from economic regulation. As my reaction as to the numbers that Mr. Greenwald cited, well, you have again a lot of variables where the utility, the municipal utility, primarily serves downtown and has a very concentrated service area versus the other competitor that serves the rest of Anchorage. So whether this is, again, these cost increases are due to regulation or not, he hasn't proven it by me.
All right, thank you, sir. Marco, you wanted to...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was really glad to hear comments from my friend, too, Mr. Stu Hall, because he always brings some light to whatever proceeding he's involved in. And I just think it's really great that this miracle of teleconferencing, that we can teleconference out to API so that he could testify. I just hope you're feeling real fine, Stu. I thought we were getting a little serious, so I hope you don't mind a little effort. I do want to make a couple comments about what has... said. First of all, I think it's important for the committee members to understand that the presumption in the statute is for municipally owned utilities to be exempt. That's the way the statute was written and set up, and that's the way it exists all over the state except for Anchorage because of that one-time dispute they had with Chugach Electric, which has been solved. So the presumption is there. If the arguments these people are putting forth about the Anchorage situation are true, then they should be true for every other municipality in the state. Secondly, I think it was Alan Mitchell who said something that if you have local regulation, you're going to end up with rate increases and cross-subsidization. Now, listen to this. So what? The local people control their local government. And the local government and those people, if they own those utilities, they are entitled to cross-subsidize as long as there's disclosure there and they're in control. And if they want to have a rate increase, then that's just fine. How many people, how many citizens of Anchorage have ever gone to a PUC hearing to testify on a rate increase? You could probably count them on your fingers. However, the hearings held by the municipality of Anchorage and the assembly fill up auditoriums for issues like this. So if you're interested in public involvement in the true democratic process, then certainly local regulation has a lot more to offer than the techno-judicial procedure before the Public Utility Commission. The expertise argument is one that really troubled me at first, and Mr. Mitchell put this one forward last week when we talked, and I thought it was valid to some extent, but I really think that it's not. And you know why? Because I look around this table, and I see legislators sitting here. What is the best example you can have of part-time regulators than the state legislature? Are you going to tell me that the legislature is incompetent to address the myriad, many times more complicated, more diverse issues than the Public Utilities Commission ever faces, and that the advisory board in Anchorage ever faces? The legislature is competent to do its task, and the citizens in Anchorage who have been appointed to these advisory and regulatory boards will meet the task just as the people in this room and that sit upstairs in the chambers do. And finally, Mr. Sokoloff mentioned that 711D is the provision that whereby the PUC may exempt, if there's no public interest to be served by regulation, then the PUC may exempt that municipal utility from regulation. Well, that's true. They've chosen not to use it in this case, but the key question here is who retains the power of decision-making? Under 711D, PUC retains the power. Under this legislation, the local government is going to retain the power. And that's all I've got, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Mr. Zawacki, did you want to add anything else?
Not at this time, but I appreciate Marco's comments on that. And I think, again, that what those of us who are looking at this legislation or portions of it are saying, let's really be fair. Again, when you've got one municipality in this entire state who is regulated by APUC, and contrary to anybody's belief, there's an expense out there. The fiscal note that APUC submitted to us specifically said that they would save on the state level alone over $176,000. And I'm not really basing my bill on a fiscal note savings, but I'm basing it on local control, local responsibility, more input from the people to make their decisions, and less bureaucracy from the state level.
All right, thank you, sir. I would, I guess, like to add myself that serving on Copper Valley Electric's board for 5 years, I do agree that it is sometimes frustrating dealing with the APUC and frustrating for the small communities, and that may be the same for the large one. We plan to hold this bill over at this time to take under consideration the recommend the changes that you did. Staff will be studying, and the chairman will. Oh, the chairman is back. Would you?
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to close out. I didn't even know if she'd come in.
Go ahead.
So with that, we're just going to keep the bill in the committee, and it'll be at some point in the future reported back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, what kind of changes are contemplated?
There's a recommendation for that, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
Okay. Did someone online have something to add? No. I guess with that, Madam Chairman, I think we're done, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're all done.
Yep.
Thank you.